Before we get into today's episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real, we wanted to make mention, because there has been such a big demand for this, we have new t-shirts available at itsthereal.com/shop, and the one that you guys asked us for the most are t-shirts with our AKAs on them, and Jeff, there's a lot of AKAs on them.
We have so many AKAs, because we change it up every single time.
10 years of AKAs, never repeated an AKA, and now we have t-shirts that feature so many of them, including... Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Moving Bass, a.k.a. Jazz.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Alcoholism, a.k.a. Heartbreaker.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. About That Life, a.k.a. Mikey Likes It.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Pink in My Drink, a.k.a. Pepto-Bismol.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. The Math Tutor, a.k.a. You Don't Want No Problem.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Five Fingers of Death, a.k.a. Isotoner Gloves.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Trap or Die, a.k.a. The Oregon Trail.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Romus and Romulus, a.k.a. Latin Kings.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Coke and Mentos, a.k.a. Poppin' Bottles.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Buckshot Shorty, a.k.a. Bambi.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Petri Dish, a.k.a. For the Culture.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Get These Hands, a.k.a. Hammurabi Code.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Planting Seeds, a.k.a. Ho Activities.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Titty Boy, a.k.a. T-shirt in the Pool.
And so many more. Go to itsthereal.com/shop right now. Cop an AKA t-shirt. We have tons of sizes and they're going fast. Now's the time to do it. Itsthereal.com/shop. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. You know what one of the greatest parts of this podcast is?
Taking pictures downstairs with our doorman?
Yes. But in addition, one of the greatest things is the number of people who come up here and we don't know them, never met them before, they're new to us, and by the time they leave, we're like best friends. Honestly, it happens a lot more than you guys think. We, you know, may not know LMA, but at the end of our conversation, we're like, you're such a dope person. You're more than just your number 17 on the Billboard charts and rising, crazy, amazing single, Boot Up.
Ba-da-da-da, Boot Up.
But it's equally awesome that we are able to go and then support by going to see someone like Ella in concert at SOBs that night on a huge night for her and have more of an attachment to her. And I just love that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it happened with Post Malone. It happened with Mac Miller. It happens with not all white people. I'm trying to think of other people. Flatbush Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a bunch of people where you're just like, oh, like we connect in a way that that I maybe didn't expect to.
Yeah, it was really awesome to go and support Ella. So we took the train down to Houston Street. We popped up and went through security. No problem. We know everyone at SOBs. We take two steps into the building and we're saying hey to some of our friends. And all of a sudden, both of us at the same time feel these hands on our shoulders turn us around. And we're facing somebody that we've never seen before in our lives.
And he says, the boss wants to see you.
And I don't know about you, Jeff, but I immediately started cycling through everybody that we have wronged in this business.
The guy who threw a glass in your face and said that he slept with a gun by his bedside, mm-hmm. and then grabbed us up, yeah. Or Donald Glover.
Or Lloyd Banks, their early retirement party video.
Yellow Wolf.
Yeah.
Like, I unfollowed somebody on Twitter. They had a problem with me.
Yeah, you know, so that walk to the stairs was the longest thing that I have ever been through. And by the time we made that left instead of making a right, I had no idea who was waiting for us in that room. We opened the door and we looked to our right, and who is sitting in a chair with his fingers pointed right at us? It's Larry.
Larry.
Larry, the owner from SOBs.
And he was like, when are we doing another show here? You know, we want to have you guys back.
And how nice is that, huh?
Well, that was a surprise. Like, we were also like, wait, how did you know that we were here?
Yeah, and he was just like, oh, my guy's upstairs walkie-talking me and said the white rappers are here. So it's nice to be recognized.
It's nice that he was putting more thought into that SOBs show than we were,
because
not thought anything about it.
When do you want us to come back to SOBs? We'll do our third show there. We want all of you guys to join us there. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know. And maybe, because we're doing a lot of really cool things now, we'll have something new to celebrate. Not only, by the way, this week do we celebrate the third year anniversary
of this podcast.
Yeah. So congratulations to us.
Bam, 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 bam.
But we're also celebrating the 1 year anniversary of our debut rap album, Teddy Bear Fresh.
Bam, 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 bam.
We're also working on a whole bunch of other stuff. Our second book, our second album, our second TV show. just a lot of great activity. We're in a great space right now, and we're so glad that everyone else out there recognizes it just like we do.
Yes, and also, Dan is moving out.
Oh, shout out to Dan.
So that Dan episode is finally coming in.
Actually, Dan will live kind of near SOBs, so that'll be a nice commute for him.
A nice pied-à-terre for us.
That's right. Today on the podcast, Jeff,
we have Ella May.
Ella May signed to DJ Mustard's 10 Summers imprint over there at Interscope. But guys, this story is not that simple. It's not just like, oh yeah, let me go find DJ Mustard and I'm going to get signed. This is born in South London, made her way to New York, went back to London, was working in retail, was in a girl group.
That got to X Factor.
Yeah, called Arise.
Arise. But it's sort of spelled like Alizé, the liquor.
Yeah, do you pronounce it Arise?
I guess so.
Oh. Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
But after that happened, the way that she used Instagram to reinvent herself is amazing, and her story, and especially the story of this single, Boot Up, is so amazing and inspiring. And
well, first of all, I mean, not first of all, we've gone through a bunch of first of alls, but yeah. Last of all,
yes,
Ella is just so lovable.
She is.
And so you guys are going to fall in love with this podcast. I'm really glad that we got her on, especially right now when everything is on the up and up.
That's right. Shouts to Ella. Shouts to her management. Shout out to Interscope Records. Big shout out to Aura Harewood. Jeff, when do you want to get into this?
Right after. I just want to do this thing now. I want to say, if you like this episode, you're going to like these three other episodes.
Okay.
I think it's like a good thing that we can do. Okay. Like, it's a little service we can provide. I want to say, if you like this one, you're going to like the Big Shaq episode.
Mm. Michael Dapa.
I think that you will like the Lizzo episode.
Great episode.
And I think that you'll like the Scotty Beam episode.
I would agree with all three of those. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up, Eric, a.k.a. Too Many DMs, a.k.a. Bumble Clot.
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. On My Jock, a.k.a. At The Mall.
Oh, my God. Hey, guys, it's Ella May. I don't have a great intro like that, but...
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but this is the real. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- By the way, no one in the history of this podcast, 180 something episodes, has ever taken the stairs. So yeah, that's really, first.
We're really out of breath right now.
Out of breath right now. We're all just out of shape. How is New York treating you?
New York's treating me really well. I was actually surprised because yesterday it was cold.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, weather's good.
Well, yeah. Now the weather's good.
Yeah, now yeah. It's 85 today degrees or what is it in Celsius? Like,
yeah, it's like maybe 28 or something like that around there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now today the weather's nice, so it's fine. But yesterday it was cold.
Oh,
but
good.
It's treating me good.
They have you running around. Yeah. You're doing a bunch of press. And yeah. You have your show tonight.
I do.
Have you ever played SOBs before?
I haven't, so I'm super excited.
That's good. It's a great venue.
But have you been there before? Because you did live in New York.
I did live in New York, but I haven't even been there. So when I go for soundcheck today, that's going to be my first time.
That's the first time.
Yeah. So I know it's like, I was like, we have to get my night at SOBs. I was super excited to do it. So I'm
that's
glad.
That's amazing.
But, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go back to the very beginning. Where are you originally from?
I'm from London.
Where in London?
South London.
South London, okay.
Yes. Where in South London?
Well, I was actually born in Kingston, mm-hmm. Which is a little bit like outside.
Jamaica, right, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's a little outside.
But I grew up in like Wimbledon Chase area, Mitcham area. So mm-hmm. So that's like southwest.
I know very little about Mitcham. I only know there's like an 1800s type poem about it, about like catching a thief, like thieves are from there or
to
something.
To be fair, there's nothing in Mitcham to really like that. You wouldn't know about it because there's nothing there. Like, but I went to school when I was younger in Wimbledon Chase, which is like, you know, Wimbledon, the tennis.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, we're like maybe like 15 minutes away from there.
Does that mean you have to be into tennis growing up?
No, I mean, you get opportunities to be like ball girls and stuff.
Did you? At Wimbledon,
no.
Oh.
I didn't.
Someone does.
Yeah.
Well, I had friends that did it. But yeah, it's just a lot of like, you know, we just did the stairs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Wasn't for me.
Do you come from a big family?
Not like my immediate family, right. But a big family as a whole, yeah. But
yeah.
My immediate family, I just have one brother.
Older, younger?
Older than me, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he's 5 years older than me.
Nice. How was that growing up?
It was good. I think sometimes I say I was like more scared of my brother than I was of my mom.
What does that mean?
For my brother to find stuff out, like, oh, more gotcha. So than my mom. Yeah, yeah. I want, like, to be honest, he's like As soon as something happens, I'll probably call him before I call my mom.
Really?
Yeah, we're super close. So
that's even dope. Though you're more scared of him.
Not anymore. Okay. Once I grew up, I was like, yeah, whatever. But like when I was younger, because he's like my big brother, yeah. It was like, yeah, it was kind of scary. But.
So you guys never went to school together because there was
he's
that age
old,
difference.
Yeah.
Right. What were you getting into as a kid?
I mean, I wasn't even like, it wasn't even anything for me to be scared about. It was just small stuff. Like maybe if I got in trouble at school for like, I'm quite outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was like speaking back to the teacher or whatever. And if they
were you?
Maybe, maybe a little bit. But my mom's also a teacher. So like I had to be so like my grades, I was a very good student.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because my mom was not taking anything less than right. being a great student.
Did she teach at your school?
No. Oh, and okay. I was never, God. Ever, ever go to a school where my mom taught. I remember in seventh grade, the high school that I went to, because you start high school in seventh grade in England, they wanted to offer her a job. And I was like, if you work here, I'm not going here. We're going to have to find another school because it's not. No.
Does that count as talking back to a teacher right then and there? Like telling your mom? Like,
telling my mom? Yeah, it probably does.
So by the time you got to high school, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do with your life?
Wait, but you ended up over here.
Yeah, I did. So I started high school in year seven, which is seventh grade for you guys, yes. in England. But I moved to New York in eighth grade. So I went back to junior high school when I, it was
that's
like,
weird.
Yeah, but we don't have junior high school in England. So it was like also a thing where I was like, what is this? I didn't right. understand it. So I moved here in eighth grade I think it's 2007. And then I went to high school here. So I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted to do. I've always been singing since I was little, but yeah. especially when I moved to New York. Because of my accent and everyone would ask me to speak and stuff like that, I kind of shied away from singing because I just didn't want any more attention than them asking me to say banana every 5 seconds. So I was just like, I played soccer. So that was like my main interest when I was in high school.
Did you have to start calling it soccer once you came to America?
Yeah.
How pissed were you?
Very. Because I say football and people be like, you play football? And I'm like, no, not American football. Do I look like I play American football? But I got used to it after a while. Yeah.
But also coming to not just a different school, but a different country,
mm-hmm.
were you then sort of like, do you have to become more introverted? Did you like not want to be so outspoken like you were back in?
The first year, the very first year I moved here, because I was 12, almost 13, I was very like out of place. I felt very out of place. I was like, didn't really know what was going on. I didn't like it at all. And I was like almost kind of mad at my mom for like taking me out of an environment that I was so used to and just like plonking me in this place that I was like, what is going on? There's so much going
on.
She
came too.
Yeah, I moved with my mom, because she got a job out here.
You moved to Queens.
I did, yeah.
Where in Queens?
So in the first year I moved to Jamaica, Queens. So it was like
Kingston.
Also,
Kingston, right? Yeah.
It was also a culture shock for me because although my mom is black.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a black household, but where I lived in England, it was very diverse, and Jamaica Queens is not that diverse. So like it was also like a culture shock for me. When I first moved here, I moved to Jamaica Queens. I went to school in Jamaica Queens.
Public or private?
Public school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was also different. I mean, I went to public school in England too, but it was just like, it's just a completely different environment.
Yeah.
I was so confused. But then once I went to high school and my school was way more diverse and I kind of went back to my old, like, okay, like outspoken ways ish.
So, like,
wait, I'm sorry. Can we just stop the rest of the interview and just have you say banana like for the rest of the time?
No, we can't.
10th grade in public school in New York, they teach European history.
I had global.
Global studies.
Yeah, I had it in 9th and 10th grade.
So what was that like? Were you just like, I kind of know?
To be honest, I feel like history in America is, although it's global history, it's mm-hmm. American history. Like they teach you, what I got taught was like what America did in every other, like what America did in this war and what mm-hmm. America did in that war. This is not global history. This is American history, but just like, whatever you guys did everywhere else. So I was like, there was some stuff that I kind of knew already-ish, mm-hmm. but it was more so obviously from the American
You
side.
See how she turns her back on us and she's like, look what you did.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
She was American for a couple years and then suddenly it's, you know.
No, my passport is British.
So you go to school. Do you end up getting your driver's license?
I didn't have my driver's license when I went to school in New York.
Yeah.
I just took the bus.
Or the subway or something.
Yeah.
What was that like the first time you took the subway?
Because it's quite similar to London with our underground, it's just that New York subway is way dirtier. But it was like
But also bigger. Like the tube is like tiny.
Small,
You're like not that much shorter than us. So, yeah. So like you have to either stand like right in the middle of the tube or like.
And when it's just crowded like, in rush hour.
The worst. Yeah.
It's a nightmare. And hot.
Yeah, yeah, we have AC.
We
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
People faint all the time. It's because it's like London's not really known to be that hot, obviously.
Yeah.
So I don't think they, obviously, whenever they made the system, they weren't expecting, but like.
Global warming.
Yeah. And yeah. it's like there's a lot more people now. So.
Oh, by the way,
yeah.
so when we went to London last year, I was wearing sunglasses all around town. I was the only person wearing sunglasses.
Really?
It was so weird. I was like, if you're like a sunglass hut or like a Warby Park or something, don't open a shop in
yeah,
London.
No. Yeah, too cloudy.
There's never really that much. We get maybe like 2 weeks of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't get your driver's license. Mm-mm. Does your school have junior prom or senior prom?
We had senior. We had all like, you know, we had senior prom, mm-hmm. All of like the senior activity, senior trip, yep. stuff like that. Yeah.
Where was your senior trip to?
I can't remember what it was called, but it was some.
Long Island.
No. I feel like we drove for at least like two or three hours, oh. but it was like, it was like they had like outdoor activities mm-hmm. and like swimming pool and stuff like that. So it was really fun. And there were other schools there at the time as well. So it was loads of people our age.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So was there any consideration of what you were going to do after you graduated high school?
Well, when I was in 12th grade, I did this program called the WISE program.
Which is
so for the last 3 months of 12th grade, you leave school and you do an internship instead of doing like staying in school.
Yeah.
And that becomes your final grade. So if you fuck that up, then you're fucked.
Oh. So you became a ball girl.
No. I actually interned in a theater. Cause
where?
In Queens. It's in Flushing Meadow Park.
Yeah.
Flushing Park. I said Flushing Meadow.
No, well, Flushing
Meadow.
Yeah.
Fresh
yeah,
Meadow well, Park. Is yeah. that the same thing?
Flushing Meadows
with the
is
big
like
globe.
Where the yeah, the globe
Flushing,
and yeah.
Is it in Flushing Meadows?
Yeah, Flushing Meadows.
Oh yeah.
yeah.
So I wasn't crazy. You're looking at me like I'm yeah, crazy. Yeah. Oh no, yeah. Well, that where
it's
the big
the
globe
accent.
Is. It was called the damn, I really should remember this.
Oh,
stuff.
You're gonna fail.
No.
Arthur Ashe Stadium.
It was called like Queen's Theatre or something really simple.
Yeah.
But I did my internship there because when I was little, I did performing arts. Before I chose to just sing,
right.
I did like dancing, acting and singing. But as I got older, I kind of figured that singing was my favorite part of the three. But yeah, I interned in a theatre where they did like little shows and stuff like that. So I would do... I would just help out like wherever needed help, the backstage stuff or whatever, which was really, really cool because I hadn't been in theater in a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I actually, and then at the end of the internship, you do a big presentation for your class. That's how you get your grade.
Yeah.
And I actually got an A+. So my whole senior year, I got an A+, which was great.
Yeah, that's super dope.
Yeah.
In high school, were you doing any extracurricular activities?
Other than soccer, no.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
So you didn't like do any of the school plays? You weren't singing?
We didn't really, like, we didn't have a big arts department in my school because it was quite a small school.
Yeah.
And it was quite new. The first graduating class was 2008.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we didn't have, like, I graduated in 2012.
So your high school class was how big?
It wasn't that big.
Yeah.
We had three academy, like, it was split into three parts.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three classes in each part. So if there's 30 kids in a class, that's 90 times three. Which is going to show
not
how bad my math skills are because I don't know what that is.
Oh,
but,
I was going to tell you it's 270. I just wanted okay. to see if like you yeah. know.
So yeah, it was small.
Yeah,
it was a small school. But I didn't really like. I kind of knew I wanted to go back into like singing or something around there, but I wasn't that sure until I moved back to London when I was 17. So after I graduated,
right,
and then I went to school for music. So then that's when I knew.
You walked the stage at high school graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on the first thing smoking back to
yeah. I think I left
England.
I think my high school graduation was the middle of June or the start of June, and I left in July.
Wow.
So yeah.
To do what? Like why? Like did you think about going to college in the States?
Yeah, I actually wanted to, but my mom was leaving, so I had to leave again.
Yeah.
It's like when she came to New York, I had to come with her, and then when she was leaving, I kind of just had to go with her as well.
And she came here for a job,
yes.
And then she left here. For another job.
Yeah. But okay. she wanted me to at least finish high school.
So how many times during a calendar year during high school would you go back to London?
I only went once in ninth grade. From the whole time that I moved, the 5 years that I was here, I only went once, yeah.
So what was that like returning after those 5 years?
It was really cool because I still spoke to my friends that I had
You had Facebook or
like, yeah.
different ways to stay in touch.
Yeah, I had all of that stuff. So it was easy. But it was almost like I didn't really know where I was though. Because I getting like I moved when I was 12, so, and I'd never really taken the underground by myself or anything like that, whereas I did that all over here. Yeah. Like, those major years of my life, I did over here.
Yeah. So, like, I it's kind different of, to be, like, an adult, right? You know, in London.
So, when I went back in ninth grade, it was a little bit weird because, obviously, I was traveling by myself, yeah, and I hadn't done that in London before. But my friends were all used to it, so I was just like, okay, I'll just go with them. They know where they're going. And then, yeah, so it was different. But when I moved back when I was 17, it was even... like, it was weirder because I had to really learn London again.
Was it like second nature when you stopped on the sidewalk and looked, like, you know, for traffic?
Do you know what, though? The weirdest thing is I didn't ever get used to looking the right way in New York because I still look the wrong way when I'm in America. Yeah. I think that's just like, yeah, I think England is obviously the first nature. Like, I look the wrong way when I come to America, and I still do it. So I never got used to it.
Well, what's right and what's wrong, right?
Yeah.
You know?
As long as I don't get run over, we'll be fine.
You get back to England, and what's the first order of business? Like, what are you going to do with your life?
Right. I had to find a job. That was the first order of business.
And what'd you find?
Topshop.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was folding my first... or cashier? Or...
I was in the sort room, which is the place where once you've tried on the clothes and you don't want it, it goes into this little room and you have to sort it out and put it back on the floor.
Oh.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Very, very fun.
Were you good at it?
I was great at it when I cared. After a while, I was like, this is just long. I don't want to do this anymore. But I was there for I think I was there for 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
You make it sound like jail.
I know. Did you get a promotion?
No, I was in, after I found that job, because that was in the summertime. So I moved back in July and I got that job in August. Mm-hmm. But I had to find school.
Yeah.
So I was only working part-time because I was in school.
University?
So in England, we have this, what you guys call college.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is our university. But we have college, which is technically
an associated school.
It's almost like, okay, so you start high school in year 7 in England, but you finish in year 11, whereas over here you finish in year 12.
Yes.
You finish in 12th grade.
Yeah.
So college is for 2 years. So it's almost, college is 2 years and university is 3 years in England, whereas high school over here, you have an extra year and 4 years in college.
Right.
So it all works out to be the same thing. It's just split up differently.
But you'd already walked the stage here and had to go back to school.
I had to basically do an extra year.
By the way, your math is good.
Yeah, because I was just like, I'm so fucked up right now. I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing. But at the end of it, like, it all works out to be the same thing. They just split it up differently.
Right.
But yeah, I had to basically do an extra year in England because of the difference in qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fine. When I first went back, I just did a music course that was just very basic. We did, like, performances. They taught us about music business.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And then I went to university. So you guys is college.
Yes.
Which was for music also. But I only ended up doing 2 years because I got signed after.
Okay. So what are you doing in those 2 years that gets the attention of a record label?
Just spamming links on Twitter.
In the first, like, year or year and a half, I was in a girl group.
Arise.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I'm in the Arise hive.
Yeah, I was. So we were, I never, if you would have asked me, I don't know, before it happened, I would have been like, I would never be in a girl group.
Well, real quick, you come to New York for your formative years.
Mm-hmm.
What are you listening to while you're in New York? Because it's very different from music back home.
It is different, but because America,
especially at that time.
Yeah.
But we listen to American music a lot in England. Like, the radio plays more so, mm-hmm, especially back then, yeah, they played more so American music than in England. So it was almost the same. I was listening to
Chris Brown,
people like that. I'm trying to think of who else there was, like, Kerry Hilson.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, all that, the R&B type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who else was out then.
Jay Holiday.
Yeah, Jay Holiday. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whoever was on the top 10 on 106 and Park, that's probably who I was listening to. Yeah. But they played the same thing in England, so yeah. That's who I was
listening. So you go back home,
mm-hmm,
and how do you find yourself in a girl group, or how do they find you?
So when I went to university, so you guys' college for music, I met this girl who I actually lived 5 minutes away from.
Mm-hmm.
And because we would do the same commute, we became really good friends. And she knew a producer who was trying to put together a girl group.
Hmm.
And she brung it to me a couple times and I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Absolutely not. And then as time went on, I was kind of like, well, you know what? I'm not really doing it. Like, I wasn't songwriting or anything for myself. So I was like, let me just try it out. You never know.
Sure.
And we met there were three of us. So we met the other girl at the studio where the producer was, and we kind of just put ourselves together type
of
thing.
Did you know that she was going to be there, or was it like a surprise and you were like, who is this?
We knew that there possibly was going to be someone, but we didn't know like if she would have been the third person that we chose or whatever. But we all seemed to get along really well at that point. Mm-hmm. So we kind of formed this girl group, and we would practiced almost every day. And just harmonizing and stuff. Yeah, because it's so different singing by yourself to singing in a group.
Right.
And then...
Who were you guys modeling yourselves after? Like, were you looking at, like... I mean, there's only three members, but, like...
Destiny's Child.
Yeah, like TLC, Destiny's Child, mm-hmm. All of those groups, SWV, stuff like that. Yeah. So...
702 total. Yeah.
Keep going.
All of them.
Yeah.
Jay Holiday. And the Holiday X. Holiday.
Yeah. But yeah, we'd practice every day, and then we'd do like these little underground shows in London. That was super
not
fun,
in
actually.
The underground, but no.
Not in the underground, but like the underground scene that's in London.
Yeah, what were the spaces over there that you would perform in?
They were quite small. Most of them were in like Shoreditch or Hoxton.
Yeah.
And they'd only
Which
hold
is like a cooler area.
That is
it's like
area.
A trendy hipstery area. Mm-hmm. They'd hold like 200 people, but it would never be full. It was just like real underground stuff that was put on by people who are the same age as us, so mm-hmm. the crowd was quite a similar age, and they were really fun actually. And I got to meet people actually that were trying to do the same thing as me, whereas even though in school I met those people, but outside of it I didn't know anyone who was, you know, trying to do music. So that was fun. Then we did the X Factor.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yes. We did the English X Factor, which started off really well for us and then completely just failed.
Well, what did it take? I mean, like, did when they brought the opportunity to you and they were like, hey, like, do you want to do X Factor? Mm-hmm. Were you into it?
At first, I was like, iffy, but I was like, you know.
Well, why were you iffy?
Just because I've always heard like about the TV contracts and stuff like that. So I'm like, I don't know. But I'm like, let's just give it a shot. Because who says that? Because
these are your sisters for life. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So we did it. And because there's a couple stages before you get to the TV stage. Like you have producer stages and stuff like that. So all of those went really, really well.
Did you do the thing where you like you wait on the line?
Well,
like to audition or whatever?
All of that is like for TV.
What?
Yeah. So they film that and whatever. But there really are lines, but they just plonk you somewhere.
Right.
And they're like, oh, act excited. So
did you sit down with like associate producers ahead of time and they're just like asking you all these questions?
Yeah.
They want to find out what's compelling about
you
guys.
And then
like, what's your favorite color?
They never really did. They didn't do much of a backstory on us.
Oh, that's how you know you're gonna go home.
Right, exactly. Basically, because when they do your backstory, you're like, okay, she's making it to the end. But we did the first round in front of the judges. We got four yeses, so we were like, oh, we're excited. You know, everyone was really excited. And then the second round, when we got to the arena stage, we got four noes. So it was the complete opposite.
Oh my god.
But I think that I always say like they do stuff to just fill space, obviously they need a certain amount of people and whatever. So
well, why
they
did
make
they say no to you guys besides the fact that you didn't want to be in the group?
They didn't just say no, they said no.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, oh, okay, like that was a complete change of events. But I didn't actually, to be honest, I can't even remember why they said no, because the performance was like, to what I remember, wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just one of those things. Like, they already have in their mind who they want. So they kind of...
Did you do an original song or a cover?
We did a cover. Mm-hmm. We did a cover both times. The first time we did a cover... when we got four yeses, we did a Little Mix song, who came from X Factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
How predictable.
I know. But they said yes. Yeah. And then when we got to the arena, I can't remember what song we did. I want to say I think we did a Destiny's Child song, actually.
Mm.
Yeah, and we got no's. So
did you do
like,
no?
No. We should have done no. We didn't. But yeah, no. It was a good experience, though. Like, to actually see what TV was like.
Did people recognize you on TV? Like, did you get hit up by a bunch of people being like, oh, my God?
Not really. We weren't on it for long enough, I think, for people to really be like, oh, you guys were on X Factor. They didn't even show our second audition anyway. They only showed the ones where we got the yeses. So people were just wondering, like, where did you guys go?
were you surprised?
We in the Arise Hive were very...
We just disappeared.
Yeah. Were you surprised at yourself how quickly you went from, I don't want to be in a girl group, to, oh, I'm in a girl group and I'm auditioning for...
I was very surprised at myself. I was kind of like, who am I? But after X Factor, We did a couple more shows and then we were like, okay, we don't think that. It was like a mutual decision to be like, you know what, I think we should go our separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who I was really good friends with, she left college I think she wanted to pursue something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other girl, I'm trying to remember what. Well, she was a little bit older than us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she just had different plans anyway. So we all just decided mutually to split up and we kind of went our separate ways. And that's when I started to do my Instagram covers, which were 15 seconds. And that's how I got discovered.
Right.
So in those 2 years of being in school, I just randomly started to do Instagram covers because I was like, my family know I can sing, my friends know I can sing, but like, what am I doing to show the world? Obviously X Factor didn't go well, so I have to try and reinvent something. And that's how I got found. DJ must have found me on Instagram.
But okay, so you start uploading them and they are only 15 seconds and it's like, you have 500 followers or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like something like very small.
Yeah, it was just, honestly, it was just like people I'd either like my friends, family, or people that I'd like come across a couple times and they followed me and mm-hmm. I followed them.
And then when do you start to see like things start picking up? Like,
it was my very first video, which is really crazy. But the very first video I did was Fetty Wap 679.
Yeah.
And the Shade Room reposted it. So they have however many million followers that they have.
A lot.
And then that was the only video I had on my page though. So people were coming under, like in the comments and like, can you sing this? Can you, like, giving me requests basically. And I was just like, oh my God, I kind of have to do these. So I just kept making the videos maybe like every 2 days. Did like Throwback Thursday stuff and stuff like that. Yeah, and that's honestly how, at the time I didn't really know that it was going to bring me to where I am right now, but I just knew I kind of had to keep going. So.
Did 15 seconds seem like a short amount of time, or did it seem like a challenge that you were like, let me see what I can do in those 15 seconds?
Yeah, it was kind of a bit of both, because I was like, I have to do something that's going to catch people's attention, obviously, because it's only 15 seconds. But it was also, I think, a bonus because it made people, like, it was a kind of a mystery of like, okay, these are only 15 seconds. I want to hear her do a whole song or something like that. And I never really completed them. I literally just only did those 15 seconds. So people were wondering like, okay, where's the rest? Can you do some covers on YouTube? Can you do a full length? Like, I still to this day get people like, can you do a full length of this cover? Blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. But
can
it was,
you do a full length of Jay Holiday's second,
you're obsessed with Jay
single.
Holiday. Yeah.
Well, by the way, I think it'd be so awesome if you went on stage and just played 15 seconds.
No, to be fair, I was saying like we should bring those back somehow. Because it's like I still have them on my Instagram because it's just like,
yeah,
that's how I started. So
we
I
went. Yeah. By the way, you don't have that many things on your Instagram. Like, mm-hmm. How often do you delete shit?
I don't actually even post that much, but I have been archiving a few things lately.
Mm.
So maybe once a week.
Yeah. We went and saw Swiss Beats perform at this private event like 5 years ago or something like that, and he just performed hooks. Like, all the hooks that he was on, he did that.
Wow.
And it was awesome. It was just like one after another after another.
And then we also saw Busta Rhymes one time, and he was just like cutting songs off like real quick, and he was just like, we got hits.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When you see it like that, you realize how many different, like, if you can do a whole show and just do hooks, like, you're extremely successful.
Totally. There's a lot of times when people are just like, I don't want to hear your second verse.
Right. And some people can't even do two whole songs at a concert. So just be able to do hooks is crazy. That's crazy.
I can barely do it. I'm very out of shape.
So okay. When did you realize that Shade Room had reposted your video?
My best friend that lives here called me and he was like, the Shade Room just reposted you. And at the time I wasn't that familiar with the Shade Room because I feel like it was when they were just starting up, because they already had like millions of followers, but like everyone didn't know them the way they know them today.
Right. Mm-hmm. They weren't like a household name the way they are today.
So I was like, I kind of had to do my research, and then I saw the actual post and saw like the comments and stuff, and I was like, wow, this is big. And then I saw people coming to my page and requesting different songs and stuff, so I was like, okay, this is kind of a big deal.
When does your mother understand what those 15 second videos mean?
Probably today. Like, I don't think she realized either what it was doing, because at the time I honestly didn't realize what it was doing. I just knew that I should keep doing it, whatever it was. But she, even to this day, she's like, I can't, like, she can believe it because she's known that I've wanted to do this all my life and she's like my biggest fan, but it's still like super surreal to her.
Yeah.
That, especially that I started off of Instagram, because I was that one person as well that was like, that stuff doesn't happen. Like, you don't get signed off of YouTube. You don't get signed off of
social media. Right.
You
only work for X Factor.
Yeah. You
right.
go yeah. sit in the line and exactly. wait for people to say no.
But then it happened to me. So
DJ Mustard reaches out.
Yes.
He is it like a DM or something?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say in the DM? And like, also, how many other DMs were you getting?
I had a few from different people, but Mustard was the only one who was like serious, like the conversation kept going type of thing. A lot of people would just be like, "Oh, you're dope," or just showing like love, showing appreciation, but never. It wasn't really like, "Oh, we want to work" type of thing. Mustard was the first. DM he said was, "What's your situation?" And I was like,
"What does that mean?"
Yeah. I was like, "I don't have a situation." Yeah, I'm singing college in my graduate. Bedroom.
Like, yeah.
I knew what he meant. Like, he meant, "Do I have management or anything
right.
to reach out?"
I would have like an existential crisis. Like, what is my situation?
Yeah.
Well, that was the issue because yeah. I was like, I don't have a situation. But if I reply to him, I don't have a situation. He might not reply back to me.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, I kind of just went on a whim and was like,
"It's complicated."
Just like put like Facebook a vague
relationship
emoji.
Status. Yeah. I literally said to him like, "Oh, I don't really have a situation right now. I'm just in school and making these videos and I just like love to sing" type of thing. And that didn't deter him. So I was like, "Okay, this might be something." And he was like, how he, you know, he wanted to work. He wanted to get into a session. And maybe about a month after that, because the conversation kept going, but then obviously it stopped at some point. And then a month after that, I was here in New York and he was in Made in America, doing Made in America Festival in Philly.
In Philly, yeah.
So he drove from Philadelphia and was like, "Oh, what are you doing on Friday? I booked a studio." Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I will be there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I'm doing. And that's how we met. So it was literally through the DM.
And wow. What do you do in that studio session? Is it like just a chance to get to know him, or is it actually like, "Hey, let's work"?
Yeah, we were working. So it was, I was like, kind of scared because I didn't know what to expect from him, because I didn't want him to walk in the room and just be like a complete asshole.
Right.
But he was the complete opposite, honestly. I didn't, like I said, I didn't have management, so I brung some of my friends with me, like, which was probably super unprofessional, but like, I didn't want to go by myself.
Wait, did you say that those were your managers? You're like, no. All five of them are my managers.
I was only three, and I told him like, "Oh, these are my friends." But he was like talking to my friends, everything. He was super chill. But he just basically had a whole folder of beats and was like, "Pick whatever you want and do whatever you want with them." I think he just wanted to see how I worked, like watch my process.
Yeah.
So he was in the room the whole time, but he wasn't like over my shoulder like, "All right, let's do this," and right. blah blah. He kind of just let me freestyle, which was cool because it made me relax a little bit instead of having someone over my shoulder.
But had you been in a studio before?
I'd been in the studio a couple times, but nothing like really really serious. Like in the girl group we were in.
Yeah.
The studio.
Oh right.
A
yeah, yeah.
And then I went to school for music, so there were studios yeah. there, but nothing like really that serious.
Which studio was it here in New York?
It was, I can't remember what it was called. It was somewhere like behind Times Square a little mm-hmm. bit, but I can't remember what the name of it was. I don't think it was like a,
not Quad or something.
No, it wasn't yeah. Quad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it was super quiet. I didn't think there was anyone else in there that night. But it was a night, it was like the nicest studio I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Wow, this is like," it was really nice. It was like all wood and whatever. But yeah, we made three songs that night.
Three songs?
Yeah.
How quickly?
We were there for a while. I think the session started at about 10:30 and I left at like 6 a.m.
Oh my God.
Something like that. Yeah. And then he drove straight back to Made in America. So he had to play Made in America that day.
Right.
When we left at 6 a.m. it was that day. So he had to drive back to Philly and do his set, which even that was like a big deal for me, because I'm like, you didn't have to drive. You have a festival to do. Like, you didn't have to drive and come and meet me. So I could see how serious he was. And this was solely off of Instagram covers, like 15 seconds of Instagram covers. So I was like really excited. And because we just genuinely like, we got along.
Yeah.
When we in that studio session and the music that we made, I was like, "This is the best music I've ever made," obviously.
Right.
And he was super excited about it and saying he wanted to get me to LA. So it was just like, it was all of this stuff happening at once that I was like, "Wow, this is really off of Instagram covers."
So okay, that's honestly a magical situation. Mm-hmm. Right, like you make three songs over the course of 8 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. The studio session
good
ends
math.
What's that?
You have good math.
Good math.
Yep.
You walk out and it's, I mean, seemingly like daylight or something, right? Mm-hmm. Summertime, so the sun's out and you're just like, okay, and where do you go from there?
Yeah, literally.
Because you're not signed.
Yeah.
You had this, like, you know, Hollywood moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what do you do?
I mean, to be fair, it could have gone very differently. He
sure.
could have taken those songs and given it to anyone if he believed in it that much and been like, "Okay, well,
yeah.
see you later." Like, right. he never had to hit me up again type of thing.
Right.
And I never thought of it like that, because I just thought like, wow, this, like, I was just in the moment. But
were you in New York for like vacation?
No, I came for vacation ish, but I was taking meetings also.
Okay.
But I had no management either, so I was taking these meetings blindly.
No situation.
At all.
At like actual record labels?
Yeah.
And how did you get those meetings?
From Instagram, people were emailing me. And I just kind of, before I came over here, I made sure that they were like legit, so I wasn't just meeting random people.
Right.
But because I did live here, it made it easier, because I came and stayed with my friends and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Wait, but who flew you out here?
I flew myself out here.
Independent.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, indie.
You're an independent woman. Yeah. Wait, so after that studio session, you've been up all night. Did you go to sleep? Were you able to sleep after that?
Honestly, I can't even remember. I think I did. I just remember coming out of the studio and it was daylight, and we were walking, me and my friends were walking back to the LIR.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what just happened?
Oh,
like,
for your senior trip to Long Island.
Right, yeah. But you know those moments when like you've been up all night like working and you're so like just pumped off all the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, well, I want to sleep, but I can't.
Yeah. I just remember after walking to the LIR and calling my mom. And
did you leave with the songs too? Or did Mustard take them?
No. He sent them to me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So maybe that's why I wasn't like, okay, he'll just forget about me. Because he was like super chill. He didn't like, there was nothing Hollywood about it at all. And he's not that person. So it makes sense now. Obviously, I know him, but like.
Did he introduce himself as Mustard or Dijon?
Yeah.
He introduced himself as Mustard.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. I hardly ever hear anyone call him Dijon, to be honest. Even his mom. I feel like his mom calls him, everyone calls him Mustard, yeah. It's just a thing.
It's great, so, yeah.
You
end up taking the meetings in New York. Mm-hmm. Mustard takes the songs. Mm-hmm. Do you go back to England?
I went back to England for about 4 days, and then I flew to LA.
For him?
Yeah, so he said to me, do you want to fly straight from New York to LA? Because he was like that serious.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't have enough clothes. I need to go home and like recoup for a second.
Right.
And then, so I flew back on my regular flight that I was going to fly back on. And then they flew me to LA like 4 days later.
To work again?
Yeah, for a week. And in that week, the only thing I saw in LA was the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Just because I was staying quite close to it. So me and my brother walked. and again, I didn't have management, so my older brother came with me just as like,
wow.
Yeah. And
what stars did you see?
I saw, the one I remember seeing was the Destiny's Child star.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Which I was so excited about. Like,
Destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I think Usher's was, does Usher have a, I think it was Usher. He has a Hollywood.
He should have one. Yeah.
And if not, then you can just make it up. Who cares?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think so. But I was more so, I was disappointed, to be honest, in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Because I thought it was going to be this, like, glamorous place.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. That's, like, the worst part of...
It's, like, yeah, it's gift, like, gift shops yeah, and, like, I was chain like, restaurants.
Wow, this is it. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool.
No,
I
you guess. Want the real Hollywood experience. You go take hikes and, you know,
No, you step off the bus and then, you know,
become
gonna,
a star.
I was going to make something, like, way darker, but it's fine. So you're out there. You saw... all the Hollywood stars.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an expectation that you were going to get signed to him?
No. The funniest thing is that never even crossed my mind. I thought we were just making songs. And I didn't, to be honest, I didn't know where it was going to go. But I was just kind of like, this opportunity doesn't really come every day. So let me just see where it goes. And because Mustard and I get along so well, and the music that we were making, I loved. So I was like, you know, this possibly could be something.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't like the J. Cole situation where he's immediately put in the studio with Jay-Z and it's like, all right, write this verse right now.
No, it was just like Mustard. We had a whole bunch of beats and he would make some from scratch. And then we'd have writers come in also sometimes and we'd just vibe and see what came out, really.
Yeah. So having written 3 songs in one night, mm-hmm. and now you're booked for a week session out in LA,
mm-hmm.
did you have any like fear that maybe you would tap out of ideas? Like you're just like, oh, I've used all my...
Yeah. No, not really, actually.
That's great.
I think I was just more so excited. I wasn't even thinking about what if this goes wrong.
Right.
I was just like, whatever it is, let's do it. And I was kind of like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But like, for right now, it's happening. So let me just kind of concentrate on... I'm quite a positive person.
Yeah.
I'm quite optimistic. So I was just going with the flow.
Who stopped through the sessions?
Well, the in the very first week, it was just songwriters. I don't remember meeting anyone
mm-hmm.
that first week. And then the second time I went out there, was when I met Ty Dolla $ign, because that's when we did the song that we have together, She Don't.
Yeah.
And he was so cool. Like, right? He's super laid back. He's super... I was like... Again, you never know what to expect with people because you just, you know, you don't know. But he was super laid back. He, like, just went in there and did his verse so quickly and was just so chill. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. But yeah, I didn't really meet that many people until I actually moved to LA, to be fair. Because Mustard... Because it wasn't known... Like, nobody really knew what that me and Mustard were working together. Not that he was, like, keeping me a secret.
Yeah.
But he low-key kind of was keeping me a secret. Yeah.
Cause this is just like any relationship. Stars have a DM.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it was, like, quite, like, hush-hush. But he doesn't have that many people in the studio with him anyway. He's quite, like, private when he's working. So, yeah, it was just work, work, work.
And so when is the first time that the idea that you would sign to him brought up?
It was just after Christmas of 2015, going into 2016. And it was the third time I went to LA and we sat down and we had a conversation. He's like, I want to sign you, blah, blah, blah. But again, I still didn't have managers. I didn't have lawyers. So I was literally in LA, but yeah, I didn't have anything. So that's what I'm saying. He really could have just fucked me over.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was that invested in me and he believed in me. And he just, you know, he just started up his own label. So everything's quite new to him in regards to signing people as well. So we were almost like learning together.
Yeah.
Even though he's done his side, like, you know, he's been in the industry and he knows his stuff that way. But like, it was a whole new, and it still is a whole new adventure for all of us because I'm the first person officially signed to his label. So it was
10
like,
summers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when was the first time you went to Interscope?
When did I go to Interscope? I think it was...
Or have you not been?
I've never been. Never seen them. I think it was that time, the time that I was in LA.
Yeah.
In the time I was in January, because I was there for 2 weeks. Hmm. So I think he wanted me to come in saying, I want to sign you, but he wanted to have the conversation with me in person. And I think that's also when he, because 10 Summers is under Interscope, obviously it's a joint venture. So we kind of like shopped around Universal and then I was like, I loved Interscope the most. So that's what we went with.
Well, what'd you like about Interscope?
You know, all the other labels that I went to at Universal, it felt just very corporate. I was doing the showcase in like a business room or like a conference
room. It's
all
a business room.
I mean, yeah, it is all a business technically. And maybe this is how Interscope knew that they could win me over. But it was like they actually had me in a live room. There was loads of people there. Like everyone just seemed excited.
Yeah.
Whereas everywhere else, it was like three people that were like, oh, okay, cool. Like we see this every day. Like, cool, you can sing. Yeah, next kind of thing. But yeah, Interscope kind of made it like quite fun and I was excited to perform for them. So I was like, I think this is the place. And I still stand by that.
But have you been to the game room? And by that, I mean, there's actual games, but there's also a giant picture of the game in that room.
At Interscope.
Yeah.
There's like a corner. Yeah. They have
upstairs
like,
where, is it upstairs?
Yeah, it's upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's only one game there, though, isn't there?
There's a...
they have a basketball
game. There's a basketball game, and there's also a golf thing, and then there's a pool table.
I've never been to the golfing.
Well, I mean, like, it's like a putting green. Putt thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, upstairs. Yeah, I have been. I was about to say, I haven't.
So, once you officially signed, are you, like, relieved? Are you excited? Are you scared?
I wasn't scared. I definitely wasn't scared. I think I was more so, I was definitely excited, but I was like, okay, this is where the real work actually like starts. Cause I think a lot of people think that, getting signed is like the hardest part. And then after that, it's all like a breeze, like, oh, everything's just given to me in my face.
Right.
Getting signed is probably like the easiest part. Mm-hmm. The hard work starts then.
Right.
So, and I was lucky enough to have a mentor like Mustard, obviously, who had been through the whole process before. So I was kind of like, He could tell me step by step, honestly, what was going to happen. So I definitely wasn't scared. I was excited, but I just knew like, okay, I'm probably going to have to move to LA. I'm probably going to have like that. Like if I have to dedicate my life to this type of thing, but I was excited because that's all I've ever really wanted to do. So I was like, I quit my job, my retail job.
How'd you tell him?
Well, I wasn't at Topshop at this point. I'd left Topshop and I was at, I worked for Aveda, hair and skincare company. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just said, like, they knew I sung anyway, because when I was in the girl group, I had to take time off for X Factor and stuff like that. And luckily, I had a really nice manager let me, you know, he was like, you know, this is what you want to do. So he gave me a lot of time off.
That person should have stayed your manager.
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't know anything. Contracts.
Doesn't know anything about the industry, but he was lovely. And I just, you know, I just left and I told them, you know, I'm pursuing my dream, and they were happy for me. You know, I haven't seen any of them since, to be honest, but I'm sure if I did see them, no, not purposely, I just haven't been back in there, or I don't really see them. We never lived in the same part of London anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if I did see them, like, it would still be the same thing. So I just said, like, you know, I'm leaving. I gave him my notice and I bounced.
And you moved to Los Angeles.
I did. Yeah.
What is the framework of the day like in terms of calling your mom? Like, when is she up as opposed to like when you're up?
It's really weird. It's like my mom will be up for work when I'm in my bed about to go to sleep.
So is that when you make the phone call?
Yeah, yeah, it's right. An 8-hour time difference. So at first it was all over the place because we couldn't, like, we had to get used to it. And especially my grandma's the worst. She'll call me at like 4 a.m. and then text me like, you didn't answer. Like, grandma, I'm sleeping. It's 4 a.m. And she's like, oh, sorry.
Shout out to your grandmother for texting you, though. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
She has an iPad. She has a MacBook. She has an iPhone.
She wants to FaceTime.
Yeah.
Her Instagram is popping.
She'll be on FaceTime. Like, all I can see is the top of her head. But I'm like, I get it. You're trying. I get it.
Is grandma on Instagram?
No, she's. She's not. I don't know, but I know she's on Facebook.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Does she leave the Facebook comments where she says like, "Love grandma"?
No, I don't have a Facebook, like my own actual Facebook page.
What's she doing on Facebook then?
My mom has a Facebook, and she has a Facebook, and everyone else in the family has.
You
a
act
Facebook,
like grandma so. Can't have friends.
My grandma has a better social life than I do. Yeah, she's out. I'll call my mom sometimes, and it will be like 8 p.m. and I'm like, where's grandma? And my mom's like, you know, it's Sunday. She's at church. She's at a banquet. She has a better social life than I do.
They're gonna be like a KOD.
No, she's not. She's definitely not at KOD. She's a woman of God.
So okay, you moved to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Were you comfortable in Los Angeles?
At first, no. At first, I hated it.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Oh, because
it's just it was just so different, mm-hmm. especially. Living in London and living in New York, which
public
are
transportation.
They're quite similar in this, and then going to Los Angeles and having to drive everywhere and just like, there's hardly any human interaction. You can literally go the whole day without speaking to anyone because you're in your car, or, you know, there's just like, walking down the street in New York or in London, strangers will say hi to you sometimes. Right. Or, you know, like you just...
Or like
just
say like, you know, weird things to you. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Or like curse you out or whatever, it's still human interaction.
Yeah.
Like in LA, I was just like, I can see how it gets like really lonely sometimes for people because they're like, sometimes you're just by yourself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I moved with my brother. So I had my brother.
Yeah.
But
that's the only human interaction.
Well, other than like when I was at the studio, but I didn't really, like, we didn't know anyone in LA. We didn't have friends. So it was just me and my brother, literally. And then obviously my team, Mustard and everyone like that. So that was just where I would always be in the studio, really. Until like, I've been there for almost 2 years now.
That's also weird too, because studio culture is mostly like overnight stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like,
during the
you
day.
Have no one to talk to during the day. And then you hang out at night, which isn't like a social thing. Yeah. It's just like.
Yeah. So it was quite weird for me at first. Especially because even though I'd been there before, like on vacation, so to speak, it's completely different when you move somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know much about, like, we were looking at the like different areas to live in and stuff. And I'm like, I know nothing about this. So Mustard was really my main point of reference. Like, can you help me find somewhere to live? Like something like all of that stuff.
And did you Uber everywhere?
At first we had to Uber everywhere. Yeah. But I have my British license, my English driver's license, and
which
you can,
doesn't work here.
No, it does.
Oh,
you can drive. You can drive on an English license for a year in America.
Really?
Yeah, then you have to change it over.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, I was able to get a car, and probably about a month after I moved.
Let's be honest. Are you a good driver?
I'm a great driver. Oh. I'm a shit parker. I can't park, but I'm a great driver.
On the right side of the road.
Yeah, on the right side of the road.
Okay.
The funniest thing
the
is
correct when, side of the road.
Yeah. When I first learned how to drive in England. I got my license and then I only drove once after that. I didn't have a car in England because like you can take the bus and everything.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, it didn't make a difference to me because I'm actually used to now driving in America. So probably if I went home and tried to drive, I'd be confused.
Yeah.
But my mom knows how to do it. My mom like will switch on and off really quickly and she can drive anywhere she is, but I don't have that luxury, unfortunately.
Has your mom been to visit you in Los Angeles?
She's about to visit me when I go back. Yeah, so she hasn't been yet, but I'm super excited.
Yo, take her to the game room.
Yeah.
I will, if they let me.
So we have to skip ahead a bit, I think, because you have to get out of here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you put out 2 EPs. And then you put out the third one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, talk about the expectations of the first two and the third. Like, you know, talk about your growth under all of this.
Yeah. So the first and second EP we put... Well, the first EP I put out when I was signed to just solely Mustard, because I was in a production deal at first. And there wasn't really any expectation for it, to be honest. We just kind of were putting out music that we believed in and hoped... And, you know, we put it out hoping that people would like it. But we didn't have, like... any type of expectation. We just put it out, and luckily, you know, people responded really well to it, so we were excited. And then we went and did my label deal, and we put out my second EP, which is Change, and that one I still wouldn't say there was expectation for it, to be honest, because I was still very new, but we were still very excited the way it was received, because it was received very, very well. And in this these EPs actually were made in the time that I was going back and forth before I moved to LA. So they weren't made as EPs, they were just made as the songs that we were making, and we kind of just put them together. But we had that much, because I said all I would do was literally be in the studio. We had so much content that we were like, we've got to somehow put this out. We didn't want it to go to waste. And I still have songs from those times that we haven't even put out, we haven't even touched, but they'll probably never see the light of day. So the first and second EPs, yeah, there wasn't that really that much expectation, but I was getting a good response from fans, and even from like people in the industry, which was super exciting, because there were people that like I've grown up loving, and people who are, you know, new school R&B people or old school, anyone, but just like, you know, I was getting a lot of recognition, so that was exciting. And then we put out the third EP Ready as soon as I started touring with Kehlani. So that one, I feel like there was a little bit more expectation because I was on tour, but even so, there was I've never ever felt pressured by my label to
make
be like
a hit.
Yeah, like, yeah, this is, you know, that we have deadlines.
Well,
we need to do
that's
this.
What makes Interscope extremely special, yeah, and extremely rare, is that they let an artist grow.
Yeah, yeah. Artist development is like super rare.
Yeah, and it almost doesn't even exist anymore the way it used to back in the day. But I had plenty of time, and I still think I'm definitely still growing, you know. But
no,
especially I hope not in height, because I'm too tall already. But especially with Mustard at my side as well, like, yeah, it's been a very special process. And yeah, the 30P was super fun, and I started touring. And because it was so new, I was like, maybe I shouldn't put any of it in the set. I wasn't sure, because I was like, no one's going to know. And like, even though in a lot of the markets, I'm like, I didn't expect anyone to know me. But that every single market we did, at least there was at least 5 people, I want to say. And if they didn't know me, they were like, you know, intrigued and wanted to hear what I was doing. So, yeah, all of the EPs didn't really have any expectation. And they did, I think, way more than we ever expected, to be honest. But
so Boot Up came out like a year ago.
Yeah, on the third EP.
Well, you know what though? A lot of people are calling it the song of this summer.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you know, when it came back to in conversation, which was probably in, I don't know, like maybe February or March, like, oh, you know, like this is starting to get big, and I'm like, how? This song is a year, like I was the same as just like when everyone else is like, this song is a year old, like, yeah, how does that happen?
That's so dope though.
Well, but once
how did the conversation like reach you?
So it started it with in San Francisco with a DJ called Big Von, who
Big Von,
who got requested in a party that he was DJing at by a guy. And at the time, I like when they first had the conversation with me, I never knew it was a guy who requested it, which
it
made
was
it
your
that much
brother.
Maybe it was. But no, he called Mustard basically and was like, I played, because they have a good relationship, so it's like, I played your artist's song last night in the club and it went crazy, and like he honestly hadn't heard it before, and he was playing it off of the fact that this person who requested it comes to the club every week. So he was like, you know what, I trust you, I'm gonna see, but
wow,
if it doesn't go up, then like I'm calling you out, type of thing. He said it went up, and from there it was just really random, to be honest. After Big Von, I think it picked up in Dallas, and then it picked up elsewhere, and now it's like No, yeah, it's
pretty significant.
Yeah. I remember Joe Budden included you as like a sleeper pick. Yeah.
Which wasn't even booed up.
It was a different song.
Yeah, it was cool. It's my song called Found, which is off of my second EP.
So like he's got a good ear, but like obviously not good enough.
No, he has a good ear.
Joe loves R&B.
Yeah. And my brother like loves his podcast, so mm-hmm. I would always see it. It's super funny. So shout out to Joe Budden.
Yeah,
definitely. We've done karaoke with Joe, mm-hmm. and Joe kills.
Really?
Yeah. Joe to see.
Really?
Like, just, no, it's like so
destroys.
Good.
Destroys. He's an amazing singer.
I need to hear it.
It's really great.
I mean, he should do like a 15-second thing on Instagram.
He should.
See who's better.
So can you tell the difference now between pre-boot up and post-boot up in terms of the excitement around it, especially in the building?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Just because we didn't know that this was going to be the song. Even I personally didn't even know that this was going to be the song. Like we said, we put it out a year ago. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it's like come back up and now it's, you know, yesterday we got news that we're number 17 on the Hot 100.
Congratulations.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Top 20, which is insane.
It
like,
is.
I was honestly speechless. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, but I think everyone's just super excited because it was so organic. Like it just came out. Back out of nowhere, and everyone's so excited about the record, and we put the video out and everyone loves the video, and
yeah.
I think it's just it's a great feeling to be around people who are so excited for you.
Do you now close with that when you perform live?
I don't I close with a slower song because mm-hmm. just like the vibe is better, but it's definitely not, because when I was on tour once we put it in my set, it was the first song I came out to.
Wow.
It's definitely not the first song anymore.
Yeah. That's like a very like bold move. Yeah. You're like, here's my hit, now enjoy the rest.
Yeah, right,
basically. We changed it.
Okay, so one of the reasons that I'm so excited that you came over here, and I forgot about it until this very moment,
yeah,
but I want you to put out a song
mm-hmm.
called Yo,
because
LMAO.
You know what? You're not the first person, not about the song, but
damn
there's
it.
So
ah.
You're not the first person to reference the LMAO thing.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a lot of stuff on Twitter that people thought my name was like LMAO. I don't know, some craziness, but I like to say I'm pretty funny myself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Well, congratulations on everything to this point.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations on everything that's about to happen.
Thank you.
It is way, way, way more exciting when these things happen organically.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing story.
And
thank
if
you so much.
You know, speaking of organic, if you could just say banana.
Yeah. How did I know this was going to come back up? I actually will say it. Banana.
Congratulations. And
thank
we'll see
you guys. Thank you. Yes, can't wait to see you.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time with It's The Real Jeff. People want to find out more about us, we are It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, this 3-year-old podcast called A Waste of Time with It's The Real, if people just want to know the difference between us and everybody else, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, ITSTHERAL, no apostrophes, no spaces. Go to itsthereal.com/shop for all of our merch.
Yes.
If you want to find our podcast, all of our old episodes, all of our new episodes, you can always go to iTunes and search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real, or go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. You can also find all of our music. Teddy Bear Fresh is now 1 year old.
Hey.
Our album with our lead single, Sugar High, featuring Currency and Smoke Dizza.
Hey.
That is on all streaming platforms, including
Spotify and Tidal and Audio Mac and SoundCloud. And I mean, just everywhere, right?
Google Music, because Google Play no longer exists.
You can't get away from it, guys. Teddy Bear Fresh. Go stream that right now.
I met somebody on the subway who said how much he likes Teddy Bear Fresh.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah. I want to also say that you can find us on all social media. Twitter at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. You can also find us on Reddit at It's The Real, and you can find us on Twitch at It's The Real, It's The Real.
Are there any good conversations going on Reddit?
No. Well, no, that's not true. Yes, there are good conversations. I'm having good conversations on there. People have been saying very nice things about our episodes.
Great.
And I also have been upvoting things.
Wonderful.
And, whatever.
Thumbs up to that, right?
Thumbs up to Reddit.
Guys, you know this podcast is not going to go anywhere. Not even 3 years in, unless you guys take the time to tell your friends, family, fans, followers, whoever, about A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Tell them that you like it. Tell them that you get something from it. Tell them that it changes your mood. Tell them whatever you want. Lie to them. Who cares? Just tell them about the podcast because someone out there is bound to like it. Jeff, who do you think is bound to like our podcast?
Well, I want to give a shout out to Jesse, whose name on Twitter is Jesus, a.k.a. Jesse.
Okay.
Who said, did you guys tell At Wale to mention Carter Got Wings height in his rendition of Hers Every Kind of Way?
Wow.
If not, can I get a shout out on the podcast this week for spotting it? LOL. And then a smiley face with shades.
Well, so the answer is no. We didn't tell him.
We did not tell Wale to mention his height in the rendition of that song.
So that's why you shouted Jesus, a.k.a. Jesse, out.
Yeah, but he does say 411, but crazy. He doesn't connect it to Carter Got Wings. He doesn't say 411 like Carter Got Wings, although...
Do you think Wale listens to the podcast? Let's find out. Wale.
Wale, if you are listening to the podcast...
Let us know.
Let us know.
Jeff, I want to shout out Mike PK, who goes by Mike PK One Day on Twitter. He said, the best thing about listening to At It's The Real podcast is hearing the stories and journeys, and I see my journey is similar to some of the best. I'm not there yet, but I know I'm on the right path, and that is what we love to hear, guys. If there's any inspiration, if there's any laughs, if there's anything you can take from this podcast, we know we're doing our job. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for stopping us on the subways. Thank you for stopping us on the streets. Thank you for emailing us, texting us.
Yeah, for saying hi to us at Douce Palooza.
Honestly.
And offering up Douce for us, even though I don't drink, and I don't think you do either.
It still means the world to us. Shout out to everybody who lets us know that you appreciate our work. 3 years of this podcast, and we're not stopping. And there's a new episode coming in just a couple of days with Swiss Beats the Monster. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
God damn it.
We'll see you guys next week. Bruh!